Rodgers' pending payday, a fresh crop of cornerbacks, and more on this episode of Packer Stack. Hello and welcome to Packer Stack, the all-new show all about the Green Bay Packers here on Facebook Live. I'm your host, Kevin Boylard. With me soon will be our expert from the Green Bay Packers on 24/7 Sports, Brian Jones. Very excited to have him here to talk the latest on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. We're obviously going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers' pending contract now that Matt Ryan has signed his new deal and Aaron Rodgers is next up on deck. We'll also flip to the other side of the ball and be discussing the cornerback situation for the Packers as they try to get that position unit solved. Also, we'll be talking about some other things, including the NFC North and everything in the NFC North that should be scaring the Packers this year, if there is anything that should scare the Packers. We'll also be opening up the phone lines by the end of today's show so we can get your questions directly to Brian Jones of the Green Bay Packers on 24/7 Sports. Make sure right now you're dropping your comments and questions for Brian in the comment section. And on that note, let's bring him in, Brian Jones of the Green Bay Packers on 24/7 Sports. Brian, how's it going today?
Doing good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I know I just saw you last week for the 24/7 Sports Conference. It was great to have you here in town, but you're back on the beat covering the Packers. I know it was an awesome weekend. First things first, we need everyone at home to vote in this poll. Right now, we're asking you, Packers fans, are the Packers wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime? If you think that they are wasting his prime, smash that yes vote by hitting the mad, angry face in the reaction bar below. And if you think not, hit that ha-ha laughing vote if you think that you're just laughing at all the fans who are panicking out there about Aaron Rodgers' prime. His prime may go on forever. Brian, where do you think the fans will stand on this one?
You know, it's interesting because fans that I've talked to, they feel like the Packers are wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime, but I think there's other fans who realize that Aaron Rodgers still has a number of years ahead of him. You look at Tom Brady and New England Patriots, you look at Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, and they're still playing at a high level. And they feel like Aaron Rodgers is better than those two. So I think when it comes to the fans, they're going to feel like Aaron Rodgers is not wasting, or the Packers are not wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime right now, but they know they have some work to do in order to get back to the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right, and those votes are starting to flow in right now. I'm checking on it, and right now the yes vote has a slight edge over the no vote, 28-24. So fans, keep pounding those votes, and we want to know what you have to think about Aaron Rodgers, and is his prime being wasted by the Green Bay Packers? Vote in the poll, and drop your thoughts in the comment section. One I see right here from Brandon says, the Packers have been wasting his prime. Let's see if the defense can make some moves. McCarthy cost them a Super Bowl when they lost in Seattle. And then Gidget says, still think they need to try to bring back Jordy and make Aaron very happy. Well, we know that Aaron wasn't happy when Jordy left. He's now with the Raiders, so it doesn't look like Jordy's coming back anytime soon. I know that's one way to make Aaron Rodgers happy, but let's talk about another way they can make Aaron Rodgers happy, and that's with a new paycheck. Aaron Rodgers is 34 years old. He's going into his 14th NFL season, and the Packers are looking to sign him to a new contract. However, he has 2 years left on his current deal. Why should the Packers re-sign Aaron Rodgers now?
Well, they've done this before. The last time he signed a contract extension was back in 2013. It was actually right around the draft. And he had 2 years remaining on his contract. He signed a five-year deal worth $110 million, making him the highest-paid NFL player at the time. So they're doing this now, and they want to get it done right before the season because they want to make sure they have him locked up and have him remain a Packer for the rest of his career. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, talked about it. Mark Murphy, the Packers president and CEO, also talked about it. And they expect to have a deal done before the start of the regular season. What's interesting, and I heard this today, is James Jones, a former teammate of Aaron Rodgers, has become a little bit of an insider at the NFL Network. He talked to Aaron Rodgers. He said, once the news breaks, James Jones is going to be the first one to hear it. So they want to get this deal done as soon as they can, just to have him locked up, to make sure that the salary cap is pretty much set for this year as well as next year, try to free up some salary cap space for this year. Again, this is nothing new to the Packers. They've done this before, and they're going to try to do it again.
Just to provide a little bit of a framework for that deal, Matt Ryan last Thursday signed a new deal that will pay out $30 million per year and includes $100 million guaranteed. We assume Aaron Rodgers is going to exceed that deal and become the NFL's highest paid player. How much is Rodgers really worth? $40 million?
It does seem like he's worth $40 million because of what he means to the Packers, but I could see him getting a deal close to $32 or $35 million. I think when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he's a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have a huge fan base, not just in Green Bay, but pretty much all over the world. And when Aaron Rodgers is on TV, on national TV, it draws a lot of attention to the NFL, which means more revenue. So Aaron Rodgers could very well be worth $40 million. Does that mean he'll get $40 million, $40 million per year contract? Not necessarily, but he will be the highest paid player in the NFL once it's all said and done. And this is why this contract does take time, simply because with guys like Matthew Stafford, with Alex Smith, with Kirk Cousins signing deals, and even Matt Ryan recently signed his contract, Aaron Rodgers wanted to make sure what his market value is. What his market value is, and right now is at least $30 million. So even though he probably won't get $40 million, and I think he is worth around $40 million, he'll probably get a deal close to $32, $33, even $35 million per year.
A lot of fans in the comments section want to see Rodgers get paid. Jenny is one of them. She says, pay him his worth and surround him with great players that are paid their worth too. And then Justin in the comment section says, need to make sure the line keeps Aaron protected or he won't have much more of a career, let alone his prime, .. A little ominous, but Justin brings up a good point. Aaron Rodgers is now coming off another collarbone injury. This isn't the first time we've seen a season of his cut short by this exact injury. He missed 9 games last year, and the Packers, as a result, finish 7-9. So will the Packers have to advise Rodgers to adjust his playing style considering how much money they're about to dish out to him?
I can understand why they would do it, but I just don't see it happening. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who thrives when it comes to moving around in the pocket. He likes to run around, but he does like to throw first as well. And because he's been so efficient over the years and based on the way he's played, it has worked for him. I don't think the coaches are going to try to tell him to change the way he plays simply because it's worked for him for so long. I understand that he's coming off his second collarbone injury. He's missed at least more than half the season last year. And then in 2013, he missed about 8 games in that season as well. But that's the price you pay as an NFL player, as an NFL quarterback. And I think one of the things the Packers can do is to make sure that offensive line is pretty much set. One of the things that also happened with the Packers last year is they had injuries across the offensive line. David Bakhtiari, who's considered the best left tackle in the NFL, missed the first 4 games of the year. Brian Bulaga missed some time. He actually ended the season on injury reserve with a torn ACL. And there are also injuries along the other stars on offensive line. So I think the biggest thing for the Packers heading into this season is the health of the offensive line and making sure that's squared away before worrying about the health of Aaron Rodgers. It's understandable that fans and coaches would be concerned about Aaron Rodgers' health, but as long as the offensive line is pretty much set, there's really nothing to worry about.
That's exactly right, and of course, that health of that offensive line has to come before you worry about the health of Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, despite the injury, is still getting a lot of love. I'm looking in the comment section here at Packers Stack, and plenty of people saying, Terry, I threw out the $40 million number as a joke here, but Terry says, as part owner, I say close to $40 million, and then Hector says closest to $40 million. I guess he means of all the quarterbacks that are out there. Well, let's compare him to the best that's out there. Tom Brady just appeared in his 8th Super Bowl this past February. He's now won 5 of them. He's got 5 rings. Everyone considers him the GOAT. However, there's still a pretty large contingent that looks at Aaron Rodgers as the best pure passer in the NFL today. When it's all said and done, when Aaron Rodgers hangs him up, will he be solidified as the one true GOAT at the quarterback position?
In order for him to be considered the GOAT, I think he needs to win one more MVP and one more Super Bowl. Again, this is not taking anything away from Tom Brady. Tom Brady has done a lot in his NFL career, going to 8 Super Bowls, winning 5 of them, won 3 MVP awards, and he's doing it, still playing at a high level at 40 years old. But when you look at what Aaron Rodgers has done in his career, And the fact that he's pretty much carried that Packers organization since he's become a starter in 2008, he's just so much more valuable to that franchise. Aaron Rodgers has thrown for over 300 passing touchdowns, and he still hasn't thrown 100 interceptions. No other quarterback in the NFL has done that. And the fact that he can run with the football, throw on the run, be able to be so accurate with his passes, the fact that he's only thrown double-digit interceptions twice in his career, he is by far going to go down as one of the best pure passers of all time. But because we look at, when it comes to measuring NFL players, we look at championships, I think Aaron Rodgers needs to win one more Super Bowl as well as win one more MVP to really solidify himself as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
It's been a while since Aaron Rodgers won either an MVP or a Super Bowl. Super Bowl last coming in 2010. He also was named league MVP in 2011 and 2014. So Rodgers has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league over the past 6, 7, 8 years. However, he's still chasing Brady when it comes to the GOAT moniker. You're watching Packers Stack right now. I'm your host, Kevin Boylard. With me right now is Brian Jones of the Green Bay Packers on 24/7 Sports. Make sure you're getting some comments and questions in for Brian in the comment section below, and make sure you're staying tuned till the end for when we open up the phone lines and allow you to ask Brian questions directly. We're going to change pace here a little bit. We've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers and what the future holds for him with the Green Bay Packers. He's, of course, looking for a new payday, but now we want to flip it to the other side of the ball, talk a little bit about the cornerback situation. The Packers have had a clear focus on this position for several drafts in a row. This year, no different. In the first round, they take Jaire Alexander out of Louisville, a cornerback, and then in the second round, they go back-to-back and go and get Josh Jackson out of Iowa. How important is this cornerback position to them, and is this going to be the group that finally sticks and turns the Packers' defense into an elite unit against the pass?
You know what's interesting is ever since Sam Shields went down with a concussion at the start of the 2016 season and he was placed on injured reserve and the Packers had to cut him right after the season ended, the Packers have been trying to find that number one cornerback. I think now that the fact that they drafted Kevin King in the second round last year, the fact that they drafted Alexander this year, as well as Josh Jackson in the second round, I think they finally found their top three cornerbacks for the future. Now, the good thing is, they don't really have to throw him into the fire right away because the Packers signed Tremont Williams. They brought him back after being with the Arizona Cardinals last year, the Cleveland Browns before that. He was with the Packers before that from 2006 to 2014. And they brought back Devon House, who was with the team last year and has played with Tremont Williams. We're both with the Packers from 2011 to 2014. Having those two guys help Menner, King, Alexander, and Jackson are going to be really beneficial for the Packers heading into the 2018 season. And by that, because of that, Alexander and Jackson, even King, don't have to be expected to make impact plays right away. I think what will happen is they'll learn from Tremont Williams, they'll learn from Devon House, and become the top three cornerbacks probably by the end of the regular season heading into 2019. So I think the Packers have finally found their collection of cornerbacks that they're going to go with in the future. And I think the pass defense will benefit greatly because of it.
You mentioned Tremont Williams and Devon House as a couple potential mentors for these young guys coming in. Let's talk about one mentor they won't have at the safety position. That's Morgan Burnett, who signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers in free agency this year. Is Josh Jones, another top pick in a recent draft, ready to play that role that Morgan Burnett leaves behind?
Yes, I think so. And I think the reason for that is Josh Jones saw the second or third most defensive snaps last year. He had to play a lot more than expected because Morgan Burnett was dealing with a few injuries. So Josh Jones had to play that strong safety position and that inside linebacker position, which is called the nitro position, based on what a former defensive coordinator Dom Capers called it. So I think he is more than ready. Mike McCarthy talked about Josh Jones a little bit this offseason, and he knew that he threw him to the fire a little bit early. And Josh Jones, he made his share of mistakes, and that was expected because he's a rookie playing a tough position. But he also made his share of notable plays as well. So I think he is ready to take that next step. And I think he's going to be one of the players to watch out for in OTAs and minicamp and in training camp. He's not going to be asked to be the leader like Morgan Burnett was, because I think that will go to HaHa Glenn Dix. But I think Josh Jones is expected to make more plays at that strong safety position. And with Mike Pettine, the new defensive coordinator, likes guys who can play multiple positions. Josh Jones is going to be expected to play linebacker as well. So I expect big things out of Josh Jones in 2018.
Josh Jones is going to have to come through with big things, as is HaHa Clinton Dix. As you mentioned, he's the only Pro Bowl caliber, established Pro Bowl caliber defensive back in that for that team. So if this is going to be an elite pass defense, it's going to be on the heels of HaHa Clinton Dix. So let's take a look now even wider beyond the quarterback, beyond the cornerback position, and take a look at the entire division here, the NFC North, and try to figure... Actually, let's look at one thing here. I'm giving the guys a little bit of run for their money, testing them, the guys in the control room. Let's take a look at this Jair Alexander touchdown dance, which we got a chance to see at the NFL draft in Dallas. Got some video of it, and then we're going to get Brian's grade, and then we'll look at the NFC North.
Pick six touchdown celebration going to look like?
Shall I get up and do it, or should I do it in my seat? All right. That was the touchdown right there at the end.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there's Jair Alexander's touchdown dance. What do you think of it? How do you grade it, Brian? And is there any chance we're going to see it this year?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I think I graded an A-. It's interesting because Mel Kiper said that Jair Alexander has Deion Sanders-type swagger. And I think, you know, you see it from Alexander. He has that swagger, and I think that dance fits him really well. I think the only thing he's missing is obviously the Lambeau leap. So he has to do that afterwards to get that A+. But I do think we'll be able to see it this year, whether it's at cornerback or he might even try out a punt returner. But I think he's the type of cornerback that can make plays on the ball, has really good speed, quick feet. So he's going to get his opportunities to at least get some turnovers, some interceptions. So I definitely think that dance is coming one way or the other.
Vanessa in the comments says, I believe in our rookies. They're ready to shine on the field. So Vanessa, one of many Packers fans, excited to see Jair Alexander break out that touchdown dance on a Sunday at some point this season. Okay, as I promised, now let's move on to the NFC North. Sorry, guys in the control room. I'm throwing them for every loop possible. Okay, here we are, scouting the NFC North. Let's take a look around and find out what we're talking about here. So the Lions and the Vikings, I would say, are the two main competition for the Packers. I mean, the Vikings have finished over 500 in two of the past 3 years. They're coming off an NFC Championship appearance. The Lions have finished above 500 or at 500 three of the past 4 years, and now they got a new head coach in Matt Patricia. Which of these two teams, the Lions or the Vikings, should be scaring Packers fans the most, if at all?
I do like Matt Patricia with the Lions. I think he has that ability to get the Lions over the hump. But you have to go with the Minnesota Vikings. And I think when you look at the Packers of what they've done since 2011, they've won the division title 5 of the last 7 years. The only two times they didn't win the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings won those divisions. So based on the fact that they added Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook will be coming back from an injury. And then that defense is arguably the best in the NFL. Daniil Hunter and Everson Griffin come off the edge. You have Anthony Barr and Lance Kendricks, a linebacker. Then you have Trey Waynes in the defensive backfield. And Harrison Smith was arguably one of the best safeties in the NFL. The Vikings are going to give the Packers a run for their money. I do think the Packers do win the NFC North. It's definitely not going to be easy. I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to come towards the. It's going to come pretty much at the end of the season when it comes to determining who's going to win that NFC North. You know, when it comes to the entire NFC North landscape, again, the Lions are a team that could really make a push, but I think it's going to come down to the Packers and Vikings. I think when it's all said and done, the Packers will come out on top.
Really no secret what the Lions and Vikings are trying to do. The Vikings have been building up that defense for a while in Detroit, and then the Vikings have been building up that defense for a while, and then the Lions, of course, bringing in Matt Patricia this year. So really, no surprise, Matt Patricia being the former defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, they're trying to get after Rodgers. But as Tommy in the comments says, we run the North, so Packers fans not that scared. One team that hasn't been scaring them at all in recent years, the Bears. They've been perennial bottom feeders in the NFC North, but they're heading in a new direction with a new head coach in Matt Nagy, and they've got a young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. So maybe this year will be a little bit different. But maybe not, since the Bears have only beaten the Packers twice since Green Bay last claimed the Lombardi Trophy. So I'm asking you, Brian, in this year, the 100th year of the Packers' existence, will they once again own the Chicago Bears?
You know, as much as I like what the Bears have done this offseason, and I like the young talent that they have, I think Aaron Rodgers just really has the Bears. Aaron Rodgers pretty much has the Bears' number, and I think the Packers pretty much have the Bears' number since Rodgers has taken over as quarterback. I think the fact that they're starting the season against the Bears, the Packers, as you mentioned, are entering their 100th season. The Bears are entering their 99th season. I think they do win that game at home, and I think Aaron Rodgers plays pretty well at Soldier Field, and I think they win that game as well. The Bears, I think they're going to be a lot better than what they were last year, and I think they're going to be contending for the NFC North and contending for a possible Super Bowl run in the next couple of years, but they're just not there yet with Mitchell Trubisky. I think he'll be much improved, but he's still going to have his issues, and I think the Packers want to prove, especially with them starting the season against the Bears, they want to come out on the right foot, starting the season fast, making sure they're on track to get to the Super Bowl, which should be played in Atlanta. So I think the Bears are getting there. They're just not there yet when it comes to competing with the Packers.
Yeah, they're interesting the way they're building things, and you have to consider Matt Nagy comes from the Andy Reid tree. Andy Reid, the last coach to come from his tree, was Doug Peterson, won a Super Bowl pretty quickly, turning around those Philadelphia Eagles. So we're going to open up the phone lines here in just a moment. That number is 615-422-5240. Call in. You can ask Brian anything, and while we're waiting for those phone lines to buzz, we'll jump into the comment section and see what you guys are saying there. So please give us a ring, and we'll pass you through to Brian so you can ask him whatever it is that's on your mind. All right, so looking in the comments section right now, we had some fans saying that Grant says, I'm not worried at all about those Lions, and the Vikings don't scare me because Cousins hasn't won anything yet. Should the Vikings at all, does Cousins make them better, or does it kind of the status quo considering they had Case Keenum playing outside of his mind last year?
I think Kirk Cousins is a solid quarterback. I don't think he's in the elite status, but I think he has a lot more to work with compared to what he had in Washington, especially on defense. So as long as he is able to be consistent, not make too many mistakes, and rely on the running game, again, as I mentioned, Dalvin Cook will be coming back. They also have Latavius Murray. I think Kirk Cousins will be able to lead the Vikings to at least 9 to possibly 10 wins. Again, he's not an elite quarterback, but he can get the job done if he gives enough time in the pocket and the defense is able to make some plays. So I think the Vikings can give the Packers a run for their money when it comes to the NFC North.
We have some fans in the comment section asking about the skill positions outside of quarterback, so we'll get to those in just a second. Please, if you want to ask Brian a question directly, give us a call. That number is 615-422-5240. All right, so really quick, some of the questions I see here. Randy wants you to talk receivers, but I'm more interested in Bill's question. Who do you think will start at running back? So maybe if you can give us that answer and then your quick thoughts on receiver while we're waiting for the phone line to ring.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've talked to some fans about it. They really want Aaron Jones to start at running back because of his speed and explosiveness. But I think it will be Jamal Williams, because before the season began, Jamal Williams was the one that stood out at training camp. He was able to run between the tackles, catch the ball out of the backfield, and more importantly, be able to pass protect. I think with Aaron Jones and even Ty Montgomery, who's still really pretty much learning the position, running back position, they had their issues at the start of training camp. But as the season went on, as the season progressed, Jamal Williams was the one that stood out, especially towards the end of the season. He led the team in rushing. He had 4 touchdowns, and he had over 200 receiving yards. So I think Jamal Williams should start because he can do a little bit more when it comes to the running game. He can catch the ball in the backfield, as I mentioned. But Aaron Jones will definitely see his carries because he is just a big-time threat when it comes to the running game. And then Ty Montgomery can do a little bit of everything when it's running back or wide receiver. But when it's all said and done, I think Jamal Williams will be running back number one.
All right, so Jamal Williams, book it. That's your running back number one for the Packers. Let's talk receivers a little bit. Again, if you want to call in, 615-422-5240. We'd love to hear your voice here on the show. All right, so Brian, what's your thoughts on the wide receivers? They, of course, lost Jordy Nelson to the Raiders this year. Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy about it. Is he going to be able to make friends with the guys he's got?
You know, I think he's developed chemistry with Davante Adams. The fact that Adams has caught at least 70 receptions and 10 touchdowns the last two seasons. No other NFL receiver has done that so far. I think they're going to be really good together. And then, obviously, Aaron Rodgers has worked with Randall Cobb for so many years. Cobb is a guy that hasn't put up the numbers he did in 2014, but he's a guy that can line up. You can line up whether in the outside or in the slot and can be really effective. I think that number three receiver position is going to be really interesting because Geronimo Allison is definitely going to get the opportunity to win that spot. And while he was impressive in 2016, 2017 wasn't the case. And that had a lot to do with the change at quarterback, Brett Hundley, starting in 9 games. But he's going to get his opportunity, as well as Michael Clark, undrafted free agent on a Marshall, the Packers signed last year. A big target, was able to come on strong towards the end of the season. And then the Packers drafted 3 wide receivers, Equanimous St. Brown out of Notre Dame, Jamal Moore out of Missouri, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling out of South Florida. I think Moore might be the one that could be the leading candidate to be the number three receiver, but all three of those receivers bring something different to the table. So I think once fans look at this team at training camp, I think the wide receiver position is going to be the one to watch simply because the biggest question is who's going to replace Jordy Nelson? Will it be Geronimo Allison? Will it be Michael Clark? Will it be Trevor Davis, who's also the team's kick and punt return specialist? Or it could be one of the 3 receivers the Packers drafted. So that's going to make things really interesting at training camp.
Yes, it absolutely will, Brian. Again, it seems like the fans here at Packer Stack are a little shy for the first episode. We're not getting any phone calls, but we'll keep that number open and the line open as well. Of course, 615-422-5240. However, the comment section is flooded with questions for you, so we'll just keep going to them while we got you for the next couple of minutes here. So, Paul actually called out St. Brown, who you mentioned in your previous answer, saying that he'll eventually be the man, so keep an eye out for St. Brown. Joe wants to know if there's an undrafted free agent that has caught your eye as a guy that might have some potential for the Packers.
Ooh, that is a good question. I think the quarterback that they drafted, and excuse me, the names kind of slips my mind, is a one to watch because he played at Eastern Kentucky. Didn't put up the greatest set of numbers, but the Packers have shown a lot of interest in him. And the quarterback position itself is interesting because that they acquired DeShone Kizer. They obviously still have Brett Hundley. He's in the final year of his contract. So I think he's a guy that could really come in and be the number three quarterback if he plays well at training camp. So you got to watch out for him. I think the Packers signed 14 undrafted free agents. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who stands out because the roster itself is now set at 90, and I think it's just going to be tough sledding for one of those guys to beat out the guys that were on the roster last year. But I think the quarterback they signed at Eastern Kentucky is the one that definitely stands out to me because I think he could be the number three quarterback when it's all said and done.
Tim Boyle is the name of the quarterback out of Eastern Kentucky. And speaking of former third-string quarterbacks, we had some news break from ESPN that former Packers third-string quarterback Joe Callahan has signed with the Eagles. So I think those reports were out there for a little bit, but ESPN confirming it. Joe Callahan, a guy that a lot of Packers fans felt had some potential. Well, he'll be actualizing that potential maybe with the Philadelphia Eagles and not the Green Bay Packers. All right, so we're about out of time here, which stinks because there was a lot of questions in the comment section we didn't get to, and our phone line never buzzed, but I'm sure it will in the future. We're going to have plenty more shows in the future with Brian Jones here. We're going to get your last thoughts on this poll. Are the Packers wasting Rodgers' prime? Where do you stand on this, Brian?
You know, I don't think so. I think the Packers are trying to do whatever they can to win the Super Bowl, to be competitive year in and year out. Again, Aaron Rodgers has to do a lot more than the Packers coaches want him to, but just some of the draft picks haven't panned out, especially when it comes to the secondary players and even defensive players as a whole. So I think the fact that the Packers made a number of coaching changes this offseason, the fact that they switched general managers, hiring Brian Gutekunst as the new GM, bringing back Joe Philbin as the offensive coordinator and hiring Mike Pettine as the defensive coordinator. I think now they're doing whatever they can to get over that hump make a run in the Super Bowl and try to make Aaron Rodgers happy. So even though there has been some disappointing years with the Packers ever since they won the Super Bowl in 2010, they're really not wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime simply because Aaron Rodgers still has a number of good years ahead of him. He's taking care of himself. He usually stays in great shape during the offseason. So he's going to be playing. I see him playing well into his 40s. So the Packers haven't wasted Aaron Rodgers' prime yet.
Brian, you are a little split with the fans on this one. Right now, 56 of them say that the Packers are wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime, while only 34 say they are not. However, you lay out a pretty convincing case, and I hope a lot of people continue to go find it. And I'm sure they will, as long as they're following your work on the Green Bay Packers, which is some of the best out there. But Brian, I know you've got a lot of work to do, so we have to let you go. Make sure you're following Brian on Twitter and all of his stuff on the Green Bay Packers on our Facebook page. But Brian, we'll check in with you later, my man. Thanks for being here on Packer Stack.
Anytime, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, of course, my man. All right, we're going to close out the show here. Make sure you're following Brian Jones on Twitter. His handle is at BrianJones247. And make sure you're following all of his work on the Facebook page, Green Bay Packers on 24/7 Sports. The content does not create itself. He works tirelessly day and night to make sure you have the latest and greatest news on your Green Bay Packers. So give him a little love. And when you find yourself in one of his articles, sign up for that newsletter so you can get the latest and greatest on the Green Bay Packers sent right to your inbox. All right. I'm Kevin Boylard. If you want to follow me, please do. Find my name on social media. Search it on Twitter or Facebook. The handle is right there on Twitter. Shoot me a DM. Let's chat football, Packers, anything. Anytime, I'm down. Also, join our Facebook group, NFL Fans on 24/7 Sports. If you want to mix in with the other fans around the league and find out when we're going to be broadcasting, what show next, that's the best place to find out. All right, I got to give a big shout out to the control room video guys who I threw for a loop today, A.A. Ron and Mike the producer, always on top of their game. For Brian Jones and the rest of the team here at 24/7 Sports, I'm Kevin Boylard. Make sure you're keeping it locked right here where we're talking your team all the time.